hitting play, and then we are doing our live vamping bit where we talk and like otherwise I'm just always gonna go just push play fucking A, and it's like
we've already done that, we can't do it again, except we just did it again.
Well, this time we were meta about it. We've also done the meta thing as well.
We're running out of bits to like start
22
with.
Episodes in, and we've explored all of comedy and cold opens. We're done.
Yeah, we got nothing. That's it. Sorry. All right. See you later. Thanks for listening. I guess we'll
start the show.
It's a gamer.
Wait, isn't that from something? Oh, fuck. I just went down a rabbit hole in my own mind of like... And I guess we'll start the show. What did I watch as a child? And I guess away we go?
Now, I know. The funny thing is, I kind of am coming up with the same thing. Like, so like, well, I guess we'll start the show.
What is this now? Like, holy crap. It's something that like I haven't thought about in forever. So I can't even grasp what I'm trying to think about. I guess we'll start the show. It's like that. It's that cadence of do, 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 do. But I'm like, what is that?
I don't know. I got nothing.
Like, it's some children's thing.
All right. Well,
wow.
Listeners? And I hope,
like, secretly, maybe the listeners will
know. Yeah. If you know what we're talking about, no one ever does. But if you do, contact us at makemeagamerpodcast@gmail.com. We're doing the plugs at the beginning before the title card. Hey-o.
Yo. Oh, we could do a reverse episode one day. I don't even know how that would go. It's too much brain power to like think about. Like, wait, so we would just say goodbye in the beginning. We would give our credits and stuff of like, here we are, follow us at this. And then we start off with the news usually. So we do a random story at the beginning and at the end.
See, I was all ready for this intro to be over with. And then you had to come up with random things.
Cut the beginning crap intro, put in the better intro. You edit this, dude.
It's a gamer.
Da-da. We're here.
It's a gamer.
Da-da. That's it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer. I'm your host, T-Man, and I'm here with...
Harvey Z, in the place to be.
Yeah, we got it right this time. So we've got some stuff to talk about today. We actually, right before this podcast, we started playing some Smash. We played a few games of...
I like how I acted surprised, like, oh, we did. No, I was there. Yes, we played some Smash.
Harvey had not had a chance to play the new game yet, and so I kind of surprised him because the Piranha Plant DLC just came out yesterday, Tuesday, a little earlier this week.
Ah.
And so I played like one match against a CPU with it, and then I figured I would...
Try your skills against the Beast Slayer.
Yeah. Harvey Z. The Beast Slayer, for those of you who don't know, although I think most of the people who listen do, but for the fans, in college we used to play Melee all the time. And Harvey would, one of his main characters was Link.
From the original Smash. I mean, yeah, it's,
yeah.
I like the character, the moveset. Yeah, it made sense.
Yeah. And then it started with Donkey Kong, right? Like Donkey Kong was the first Beast.
It was just Donkey Kong versus Link was the only, like, Beast versus Beast Slayer. Who was the Donkey Kong played by Rocco?
No, I think it was Generic Johnson.
Generic Johnson. Oh, he was so friggin' good at it.
Yeah, yeah. And so it became, the Beast Slayer came out of that, like the rivalry. And then Slim played Pikachu, which was also the Beast. And then I think I played Yoshi.
Yes.
And so like it just became this thing that whenever...
Link versus a non-human
creature. It was like always just, even if there were like four people playing, Link would always go after the Beast and, you know, had catchphrases and everything. And it's evolved from there.
And it's basically just every time you kill a Beast, you taunt. Even if you think you've killed a Beast, you must taunt.
That's the important quality of the Beast Slayer.
And he just says, Beast slain. And then taunt. Yeah. And then usually they are not dead.
Yeah, there's a YouTube video of it on my YouTube channel. We did a couple rounds of Smash Brothers.
Beast that one Slayer actually versus... had some good moments in it. Yeah. Just smiling, thinking about it. Yeah.
So spoilers, since we didn't record any of the Smash we were playing a little bit ago, the Piranha Plant was apparently too much for the Beast Slayer. The Beast Slayer cannot even handle a plant right now.
The Beast, I was about to say, like, I didn't get to cut you off and be like, no, Hervey Z, Beast Slayer won all flat five matches. Everything. He was the greatest. It was awesome.
Well, I mean, you only played as the Beast Slayer for one match.
It's true. And it was, so having not played this new game, it was actually pretty close, which Smash kind of is equal in that way.
I mean, we were playing with casual, all the items on and everything, yeah. And it was just fun. It wasn't, like, skill-based.
Like, we're not just, like, dodging each other over and over and over and over until the bombs, like, go off or something.
Yeah, we're not, like, expert wave dashers and
Pokemon. Is this Pokemon mine or yours? What does it do?
Most of the matches were Harvey Z screaming, what is that? Oh, God, why am I dying? Oh, God, what is that? Who is this? Is she hot?
That was a valid question. Yeah. I mean, I stand by all those points.
So what did you just, it's on your thoughts? I so mean, it's it was, Smash Brothers, right?
It's everything that I love about Smash, and I think in ways the things that can kind of get frustrating, but because it's all novel and new, the things that are, it's Smash.
Yeah.
It's just, it is more Smash, it is more Pokemon, more chaos, more stuff to look at, more ooh shiny, and like, at the same time, it's all that ooh shiny, throwing it around and stuff. Like, we used to get super intense into our, like, Melee matches to where we would just play on, like, Final Destination, no items, just mano a mano.
Yeah.
And, like, just get super, which is why, like, the Beast Slayer used to be good.
I mean, of my friend group, of the original, you know, mm-hmm. core Smash group that we have from college, I'm the one that's always owned it. So, well, I think Rocco was the one that owned Melee. But, like, since post-college, I'm the only one that's kept up with Smash. So, yes. I understand that, like, our Professor Q kind of has natural Smash talent. He always seems to...
Does he?
I mean, of matches that we've played, Professor Q is the one that usually... Him and Slim are the ones that are most likely to actually beat me.
Oh, to beat you. I was about to say, like, well, so this is the thing. It feels like glory days now. It's like, when you say it this way, and it's like, in college, I was really fucking good at one character.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm not, in college, yeah. It was a different story. I'm talking, like, over
That's
time.
That's why I was like, oh, in college, I think the best of us was Generic Johnson.
Oh, yeah, Generic Johnson was definitely the best at Melee.
With his Fox and his, like, Donkey Kong were the two that he used.
But yeah, I think the only time people feared me in college was when I played as Jigglypuff.
Not Yoshi? I was about to say.
Yoshi was
your strong point. We did fear your Jigglypuff because you were the most consistent sleeping people.
Yeah, yeah. I was a pretty terrifying Jigglypuff. I remember that much.
Yes.
But I think, like, my repertoire has expanded because mm-hmm. I've been playing through Brawl and the Wii U version and this one.
You
and
were so, probably the most versatile. Like,
yeah.
All of us had like five or six characters that we played and like two that, okay, we're pissed and we want to win a match that
right,
we want
right.
to play as.
Your best was Sheik.
My best was Sheik. That was actually like one-on-one. You could not beat me without, even with or without items.
You versus Generic Johnson, like Fox versus Sheik, was always good.
Yes. But it was, and back then it was actually close. Like, you couldn't just say he would win.
Right.
The problem was post-college, I fell off sharply with all the other characters. Sheik was still, though, a little bit better, but now I feel like it's been so long.
Yeah.
The others
Plus,
I
they
had,
retooled Sheik's moveset in the fourth version.
Ah, that's right.
So they're slightly different, and it's not the same. And
once she got, like, yeah, once they took away the turning into Zelda, I believe it was,
mm-hmm.
yeah, then it became the new Sheik, and since then it was a little bit, like, I hadn't played the game as much since then. Otherwise, my fun characters are usually, like, see, I just play other ones that are, who do you guys not play as that I would enjoy? Things like Ice Climbers, the Beast Slayer Link, and then Ganondorf, the Senator.
The Senator.
Always.
The sad thing is, I'm not sure there's a good Senator skin in the new version.
Oh, so the Senator is Ganondorf with just white hair, so he looks like an old white-haired man instead. And I just liked him a lot, and it was one of those random, from an inside joke in college talking about the Senator, to now, like, this guy.
Yeah, I always associated you with Link as Beast Slayer, Ice Climbers, Sheik, and Senator Dorf.
And then, do you have the fifth most infamous character of mine?
Oh, are we talking about Blueigi?
Blueigi!
So Blueigi was the stupidest thing, but also the greatest thing because both. So I started playing as Luigi, and I think I was the pink version, and I was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then Generic Johnson decided he also wanted to be Luigi, and I think he played as just straight green Luigi.
Yeah.
And both of us were really good, and then you decided you also wanted to play as Luigi. And at that point, we were like, no, 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 there can't be any more Luigis. So it became, and you chose blue as your color. And so it became the running gag that whenever there was a blue Luigi on the stage, he had to die first. Like, it was always just Blueigi dies, Blueigi cannot win a match.
And I wasn't good at Blueigi. I just wanted to learn how to play Blueigi. The problem was he would constantly be hunted and killed.
Yeah, this was just like 100% harassment on our part. He just wanted to learn fucking Luigi, and we're like, no, there are already two Luigi masters on here. We can't deal with a third. You're just not getting to play as him.
How did he? Blueigi has won a game.
I think he's won once on accident.
One game, yes. Yeah. He has won. Because otherwise, it was a streak that went on for a long time that Blueigi never got. He got second place a couple times.
Yeah, but he was, you know, that was the most infamous one.
Because that's how I got good at Sheik, was I didn't really have any characters that I was good at. Sheik that I started to play with just in the multiplayer chaos. And then I just started practicing with Sheik by myself because we had, what was it, Satan?
Satan, yeah.
Satan would play, and Satan liked to play a cheap-ass character.
Oh, yeah. He would play as Roy or Roy Marth,
with
the
sword, and he would just edge, like, edgehog and stuff like that. And so I needed a character that could counter that, and Sheik had the ability to jump off of things, grab edges, and, like, do a getting up and blocking the stupid sword attack, and she had a unblockable kick. So I had movesets, and so he always wanted to play. No one wanted to play against Satan because Satan cheated as hell. And always
he was just cheap.
He was cheap, and if he lost, he would always blame the controller. And so this was something of where it wasn't cool to play against Satan, but I was like, all right, Satan, Harvey Z fears no man or deity or demonic entity.
I really like that we have now introduced in our cast of characters just Satan with no explanation. No, we're not going to go into any further detail. That's just
that all you need to know. Satan played Roy.
Okay.
And he blamed the controller.
So the other thing I wanted to ask you, you got to finally play as Fire Crotch Cat.
Yes.
What do you think of the wrestler?
So I didn't get to play him that much because, again, it's Smash. Everything's flying around. There's Pokemon and stuff.
I think you spent half the time being drawn on as well.
So I secretly love that attack.
Yeah.
It's like the puppies that fill up the screen or so.
Yeah.
Like, apparently in one of the little assists, this guy just pops out and paints on you. And then suddenly you're a giant conch or a giant cat and you can't see yourself.
Yeah.
However, you can still fight. This is why I like it.
It
could be an advantage because people can't see what you're up to.
Right.
But when you have no idea what your movesets are, you cannot learn it that way.
Yeah, so I wasn't being very fair in letting you learn your moves very much, but...
So I'm torn. I usually like longer range characters, faster characters, and agile, like, darting around ones with, like, weapons. He seems like a melee brawler, up-close kind of guy.
He's a wrestler.
Yeah, which... So, like, moves... Guys like Ryu, like, little back and stuff, I struggle with them because I like to have distance and run away, hit and run. He doesn't seem a hit and run. He seems like a combo or chain guy. So I don't know. I just like, from the storyline aesthetics point, I kind of want to play with him over and over because he's a wrestler. But like from a moveset one, it doesn't seem as natural for me.
All right. Well, we'll keep you updated. I'll give you some more chances to play as him without the stress of getting the shit beaten out of you because I wasn't showing any mercy. I'm not a very nice person when I'm playing Smash.
Again, it's Smash. Like, that's how Smash is meant to be. Because that's the thing. Even in those cases, I was only losing by like one life or like maybe it was a close match actually. It wasn't like a 5-0 route or anything.
No. It was with like everything going on and items and everything. It was like 4-3. I think we were playing four stock matches. I think there was one 4-2 match, but other than that.
Yeah. That's the beauty of Smash. It does have a deep pocket for like the middle gamers or the casual gamers can still pick it up, play, and like feel like, oh, I might have a chance.
Yeah.
It might be luck, or it might be the controller's broken on the other guy's thing, but you have a chance to win.
Okay. So that was Smash. And the other thing I wanted to briefly touch on before we go into some news is that I realized as I was editing last week's podcast that we never actually talked about Scythe. Like, I got real psyched up about it and then, like, skipped to the expansions and talking about that and, like, trying to plan out my next board game night with Harvey Z. And then we got to Catan and then we got to Magic and we just never actually explained or talked about the Scythe board game. And so since I've now mentioned, I mentioned it on three podcasts now.
Oh, like, that's right. Yeah.
Because like at the end of two podcasts ago, I was like, we should talk about this. And then I tried to talk about it and then got distracted because we're both ooh shiny sometimes.
And this is actually just par for the course of like when we hang out, that's at some point somebody's like, wait, how did we get on this topic? And we have to rewind it back.
Yeah, so I'm focusing in. We're actually going to talk about the Scythe board game for a little bit here, just because for our listeners, I feel like, you know, I don't want to leave this thread hanging. You know,
there's one guy out there like totally waiting,
waiting just for my opinion on Scythe.
I thought we talked about Scythe.
No, we didn't. We
I trust you. You edited the episode.
Yeah.
But I'm like,
I was listening to it. I was like, did we go back to this? No, we're not going back to this, are we? Oh, we're on Magic. Oh, we're talking about our favorite colors in Magic. Oh, we're not going back.
We'll never get back. So one and a half episodes later.
We've got to go back, Kate. We've got to go back. Lost?
Never watched it.
Oh, okay.
All anyway. I know about Lost is there's like polar bears, like a bunker guy, some numbers that people cared about, and then like Purgatory.
That's a pretty good summary.
You're welcome. Spoilers.
So Scythe. It's a 4X board game. We've talked about 4X before. Explore, exploit, exterminate, Excelsior, you know, whatever. We've talked about it before. You know what the 4Xs are. And so it's a very interesting aesthetic because it like takes place in quasi post World War One, World War Two ish era, but with mechs.
Is this steampunk, would you say?
No. It's just straight up like alternate future because I don't think the mechs are made out of steam.
Mine were in my head.
Okay. All right. That's
fair. But like steampunk because it was like old timey. Like
if 1940s is not old timey.
It is. I'm a young man here. But like it was like post World War or around World War II, I think post an Eastern Europe kind of aesthetic or like Russia in that area. And like with mechs though, which again the technology seems not for what that time period was. In my head I go, steampunk?
No, it's not steampunk. It's real weird alternate history because like it still talks about like Russia, doesn't it?
Well, there's a pseudo Russia thing.
Yeah, so there's like a pseudo Russia and a pseudo like Scandinavia, I think, and like a pseudo Poland. And there's just things that are obviously
these are the Russians, we're just calling them a different name.
Right, yeah. And so there's five factions and then there's two more factions in like an expansion. But the five main factions, and each one has a leader that has like special abilities and stuff.
Like it seems like is there based on a book or something?
No. This is just straight up made from like a Kickstarter. Like some guy designed this.
Oh, because like yeah, each leader had like an animal companion, and like you go on little quests and stuff. Even though it's not, but like there was enough like cards written in it, and like choices on like. Really, they're just economic choices of do you want to dedicate yourself to this resource or this resource, or do you want to get this benefit? But they told it in a narrative story.
Yeah, they've got like consequences like you go to a village party. If you get drunk, you get 3 food. If you conscript everyone, you get 2 army guys. And if you decide to burn down their village, you get money.
It was like there was a good option, a neutral option, and then an evil option.
I wouldn't necessarily say that.
Not evil. Yeah,
but like right. It's not...
A military?
It's not really. It's. I don't know. Like, it is. There is, like, levels of,
lawful,
like.
Lawful, neutral, chaotic?
Maybe. I think that's probably a best way to put it. So, there's, like, you can party or you can, like, threaten everyone. There was one where, like, you have the choice to, like, conscript people or just kill them or, like, help them.
Because it was, like, the first option would be, like, the positive one, give you some benefits. But the more like the more darker choices would give you more military options versus the first one would give you more like social ranking points.
Yeah, so there's a couple different things that you have to balance in the game. There's like power, and then what was the other
there was the heart things.
There was the hearts, but I don't remember what it was called.
Yeah.
But loyalty? There's it's no. Like basically like social standing, like how the people view you.
Honor? No.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And so like power was military power. So like if you ever fought another player, which happened, didn't happen as often as I thought, but did happen a couple times. Depending on the power, one, how far you up are on the power scale is how much you can use in the battle. And then the heart, it like how much people like you directly relates to how much points you're going to get at the end. Because depending on where you are on the likability scale,
it's a multiplier.
It's a multiplier. And that affects basically almost all of the ways you score, like your victory points at the end. Because the only thing that matters at the end is money. Yay, capitalism. Yeah. Like, there's, I don't remember exactly how many, but there's these stars that you can get for completing specific tasks. Like, combat happens so infrequently that you get a star just from winning a battle. And you can get two of those, and that's the max.
And then the way you win the game, it basically is you have to get 7 stars or so or something.
No, so the stars only affect the end game. Like the end of the game is triggered as soon as someone gets 6 stars.
Okay, so it's so like a timer counter thing.
Yeah, it's like if you deploy all 4 of your mechs, you get a star. If you deploy all 8 of your workers, you get a star. It's that kind of, you know, like once you've done all of this one thing, you get a star, and that gets like, you and closer to the end. And there's a ton of
different ways to get the stars and stuff. That's what I actually found really intriguing was, so like most games you see, okay, this is the win condition and there's either 2 routes to it, military or peace. This one, there was enough variety that that's something I like and hate about board games, especially games you guys play, actually. You and Slim.
Really?
So it's like, so when there's a lot of different ways to win, it becomes a game of like optimization, which is what 4X basically is you got to explore the map. Sure, I got that. I'm fine with that. But then it's that exploit X, which is how do you make yourself the most efficient at getting to the win condition at the right time?
So what happened in our game was all of us were very tentative about the map. Mm-hmm. And like we were kind of in our own spaces and not really expanding, which is the 4X. And Professor Q had this ability where he could he moved around, and if he got so the things we were talking about earlier, these encounters, which are like narrative things that happen and give you bonuses, he had a special ability where normally you only get 1 out of the 3, but he could choose 2 benefits of the 3 instead. And so he had an incentive to move around the map. Mm-hmm. And because this was our first time playing, we were like focusing on like learning and building our own armies. So we didn't stop him from moving around. And by the time we realized that we needed to put people out to kind of slow him down and like...
He had already expanded and exploited the system.
Yeah, he'd exploited all he needed to and just basically ended the game. And none of us were even close to him.
Yeah, that's true.
So... It's very interesting. I really like the system of how when you upgrade, you basically get 2 new cool things.
Uh-huh.
Like, because like you're getting more out of one resource and then making it easier to do another ability. Like there's this give and take where you've got this card in front of you that has actions, and there's a set of actions at the top row and a set of corresponding actions at the bottom row. And the top actions are what like give you resources, and the bottom actions are basically what you spend the resources on. And so it's a very interesting thing of like the top is where you like move your people around or like choose to produce resources. And then the bottom is like I deploy a new mech or I make a new building and things like that. So I really like that game, and I feel like it's going to become... kind of my almost Arkham Horror.
I was about to say that in my head. It's going to become your Arkham Horror.
Where, like, I'm going to want to play it, but, like, people will be like, oh, but this takes so long, and it's going to take...
And it wasn't too bad. It took 4 hours?
I don't... Three? I mean, I think it... We started at, like... Well, there was, we also had dinner in the middle. So I'd say about between four and five hours, but that was also our first time. And that was from start to finish, like learning.
I feel like every other game will be shorter than 4 hours. Yeah. However, that's what people will remember right now. Is it's a 4 hour game.
Yeah. But I think with, now that we know, if we got the same four people and didn't have to teach it again, if we sat down and played it, I could say in 2 to 3 hours, I think we could knock it out, which isn't nearly as bad as other games. Like, it's definitely never going to be a 30-minute quick play game, but I could see having, like, I honestly, like, I am so set. I want to get this Legacy expansion, and I want to play, like, just sit down and have, like, get the four of us together, and and anyway, already talked about the Legacy thing, which, if you don't, I also realized we didn't really explain Legacy, so just in case you're not familiar with it, Legacy board games are this thing that was created first with Risk, then it went on to Pandemic, and I think Betrayal has become one now. But they're basically continual board games where you like play with the same group, and every round affects the next rounds after it. So like Risk, Legacy, whoever wins, like the territories will change depending on what happened at the end of the first game. Like if you nuked Australia, you wouldn't be able to go to Australia or something. I don't, I've never actually played Risk Legacy. So this is just me saying shit. So don't actually take it for granted.
We used to play Risk, but man, yeah, it's been a long time. We actually did play Risk in college.
Yeah, we played Risk in college. It's been a long time since I played it because I get really angry when I lose at Risk. Like,
yes,
I was pushed to, I think the last time I played Risk was when I was pushed to the limit because it was like 3 in the morning and I wanted to go to sleep and I wanted to call it a stalemate, but Generic Johnson refused. He wanted to play all the way to a winner and I was just fucking tired because it'd been like a 6 hour game of Risk.
Psychological warfare there, and he's like, forfeit the game, buddy.
Yeah, and I think I just like, I literally flipped the table. I think I just like destroyed the board, and I don't really know if I consider that a win on my behalf because he could have had a stalemate and the game is never ending now. But you know, I honestly don't know who would have won because we were pretty even in terms of,
I know there's
of,
been matches where I've certainly taken, he's the stalemate offered, so that's where you get into like bribing and stuff of like, we'll declare each other co-winners, or if you do this, I'll buy you a beer. Not beer, but like I'll buy you a soda, or we'll go to Wawa. You had to actually go to external factors to win this game.
Yeah, I was not at that point. I was really tired. Like, so for my own personal sanity, I don't play Risk anymore.
Yeah, it's,
I've got a little bit more of control of my anger when playing board games. Like I don't think I've ever gotten that mad ever again. But just to be safe, we don't do Risk in this house.
Okay. Monopoly?
Monopoly's fine. I don't care.
Really?
I don't care about Monopoly.
Did you ever play Monopoly with your family?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the stereotype of Monopoly is like the game that destroys like families and you should
never. Monopoly for me is never, I get bored playing Monopoly, but I don't get angry.
I don't get angry, but so
I don't get competitive either. Like it's Monopoly to me is such a non-entity. Like it's not even worth getting angry about.
So like Monopoly in the Harvey Z household has been a game for like played all the time, but now only played at Christmas really. And even then, because we're only willing to play it once a year because of my dad. Like, growing up, I played Monopoly with my dad and my family, and it was fine. Except, like, my dad used to do this thing where he's really good at games. And I didn't know that till I was, like, 8 or 9 years old. Because I'd be like, oh, I can always beat you in chess, Dad. And he'd be like, yeah, you won this time, Z. You won this time. But I'd be like, man, Dad, you really suck. I'm the man. And he'd be like, yeah, you got me again, son. You got me. And then I'd be like, can't you play better, Dad? Uh-oh. And he was like,
you poked his button.
You want me to play better? And he's like, I was like, yeah, I can. I need a challenge now. I'm too good for you, Dad. He's like, all right. And then he beats my ass in chess.
He was holding back.
He rope-a-doped new levels come out. And it's just like, holy crap. He's so good that it took me years to beat him. And at the same time, like, now it's like, it's not even 50-50. Like, it is still like, but every time I win now, it's so satisfying. But yet at the same time, as a kid, it was so satisfying to beat him over and over and over and feel like, I'm the man. I'm so smart. I'm awesome. I'm the best Harvey Z there is.
And then he gave you the harsh reality that he was holding back.
So like, much holding back.
You haven't even seen my true form.
Yes. Just, I was still like on the first gym leader thinking how awesome I was.
And so Harvey Z's dad goes Super Saiyan.
Yes. Then Monopoly, so friendly game and such. It was like, okay, let's play Monopoly as a group. My dad gets weirdly, like, we play Monopoly, there's the rules, and then there's the beyond the rules kind of thing. Like, we do free parking, we put all the taxes and stuff, any money that you have to pay to, like, the little $15 or stuff, we put in the middle, and free parking gets it kind of thing. We're one of those households. But then my dad goes into negotiations. We never did auctions for property. So he would do things like, oh, you've landed on my boardwalk, you can't pay for it. How about you give me some property of yours? And it's like, oh, no, I don't want to. He'll do, okay, it's, I know, that's not a fair deal. But you're going to lose the game, son. Give me some of your property, and I'll give you two free spaces on that property. And I'd be like, oh, so, and he's like, so if you land there, it'll be like you owned it. You wouldn't make any money, but you won't lose anything. And I'd
your
be like,
dad,
okay.
Sounds like he'd be a ruthless CEO.
He was so ruthless. So those were just, that was beginning steps. Because it was, oh, you still landed on my yellow space, though. This was for Park Palace. We didn't say anywhere you'd get 2-3 spaces. Oh, you're still out of money, son. Oh, well, how about this? You just give me another. Oh, I'll invest in your company.
Just give me a loan at 10% interest rate. You know, I'll give you this and then you'll be able to. Yeah. Oh, geez. That's
like, you have Boardwalk and I have the other one. How about this? We'll form a merger. You put some houses in. I'll put some houses in. Whoever lands there, we get 50-50. Now, he had the one that got more. And so it was like these little things of where he's collecting my, or I had the one that had more. He would collect more money than he would. And it was just like, but he would do stuff like that where, oh, we can move around and let's negotiate. And, oh, we can put some houses in here. And then suddenly you're bankrupt and you're like, oh, I need to like sell some houses. And he's like, whoa, we're 50-50 business partners here. You can't sell the houses. I'm not going to let you break down like Park Palace or Boardwalk or stuff. You're going to either have to pay that or go bankrupt and I'll just take your property. And it's like, no, I don't want to. And he's like, well, I suppose I could buy this property out from you then. And it would be like, if you want to, and as a kid, I wanted to keep playing. So like he would inevitably do that to, and it was me, my cousin, all the rest of us were kids. And he would do this sort of stuff, buy us out, take all of our property. So no auctions, no nothing.
Is your dad the head of a Ponzi scheme?
Like he was amazing. And otherwise, mild-mannered, quiet, simple man.
But man, you bring out Monopoly and he's...
Every Thanksgiving he asks, do you want to play Monopoly with the whole family? And everybody just looks at him and like, they know.
Butt cheeks clench across the entire dinner table. Like
we just, oh, we're going to have so much fun. We're all here together. Let's play. And even my cousin who doesn't hang out with us or live with us and stuff, when he comes over, he always actually wants to play because he has memories of this. This was a daily thing when I played Monopoly with him regularly. They don't know how ruthless he is. And they're like, oh, it's just once in a while. He plays just at Christmas time or at Thanksgiving. Still, like, it's only once, I think, in the last 10 years has someone besides my dad won this game. And the games will go for, like, 2 days as usual and stuff. But, like, usually in the middle of the night, everybody else has – it just becomes, like, straggling and surviving in a post-apocalyptic capitalistic wasteland where everything is owned by him. And you just want to try to get to the railroads of safe spaces.
That is amazing. I love that.
Yeah.
I've never had that Monopoly experience. My Monopoly has been pretty bland compared to yours.
That's where playing for second just means surviving till the end.
Now suddenly everything makes sense.
Yeah.
That's how it was in the
first
place.
Was always
household.
Taken away. So it was just who wanted to be last loser.
All right. Well, so we've hit on the board games. We talked about Smash. We finally talked about Scythe. I think we've talked enough about it that it's a general idea. If what we've said sounds like interesting to you, especially if you're a listener who I play board games with from time to time and are interested in also playing it, please let me know because I really want to play it and I like that game.
This is a weird use of your podcast, bro. So like, Like, yeah, listen to our podcast and stuff like that, but come play with me. Okay.
I mean, there is a version of Scythe on Steam, so like I could get it and we could play, you know, like fan, you know, podcaster fan interaction. This can be a Patreon thing, you know, like.
Fair enough. They should try to play like Frozen Cortex or something, but sure.
Okay, fine, fair.
Rather than
we've played exactly one turn of that, by the way.
Life happened.
Okay.
Life happened, buddy.
I'm waiting for your turn. I've been loading up Steam every night, and it's like zero games ready for you. And I'm like, oh.
Psychological warfare. Maybe we should just call it even at this point.
No, no. I want to actually play the full game with you. I'm interested to see where it goes. Anyway, so there was a little bit of news I wanted to talk about before we got to the main thing, and we're already like half an hour in, I think. So the main thing I was expecting to take up a lot more time, so we'll see what it goes after the news story. So I don't think we talked about it on the podcast because December was kind of a weird month for both of us.
We might have mentioned it in ideas, but it was kind of the making sausage thing, and I don't know if you cut it or not.
Well, I'm talking about the news.
Oh, never mind. I was talking about the thing that comes after the news.
Okay, so first I'm talking. So just so we're clear, since apparently Harvey Zeeb was unsure of what we were talking about, and I'm sitting in the room next to him. there's some news that happened this past week that I thought I would bring up and we could talk about. It's not a good news or a like bad news thing. It's kind of a neutral
news
happening.
I was trying to make a neutral news pod, but it was just like
news.
Yes.
In December, I think around the time, it might have been actually at the Game Awards, but if it wasn't, it was sometime right in that general time frame. Epic announced that they were starting their own Epic Game Store to compete with Steam.
Oh.
They announced that I think publishers and developers were going to get like 90% versus their 10% cut, which versus Steam is 70-30.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, you know, supposed to be more friendly for developers, and it was supposed to open the market, you know, like not a monopoly, you know, competition mm-hmm. breeds blah, blah, blah. And for a while, like initial impressions were it was a good thing. And then gamers happened and it became like a sticking point and people started arguing and, you know, whatever. This might actually be more of a negative thing than neutral than I think about it. But it's fairly neutral. It's the fan reaction that has been negative. Anyway, so to compete, like obviously Steam has the stranglehold on the market right now. And so what Epic has been doing has been getting exclusive rights to games.
Oh.
Some of them are timed exclusive. Some of them are completely exclusive. But the point is you need to get and download the Epic's game store launcher thing, mm-hmm. whatever app. And it's free. It's just like Steam. You can just get mm-hmm. it, make a username, start buying and downloading games. So it's not like you have to pay extra money for it. It's just another thing you have to download,
mm-hmm.
Which is somehow the sticking point for people. I don't understand. But so they have been doing this. And then sometime within the last week, I didn't pay too close attention. It just started cropping up in places where I get my news. They announced that Metro Exodus, which is the third game in the Metro series. The first was Metro 2033.
Metro or Metroid?
Metro. Metro, it takes place, I don't know if it's like a book series or some sort of like D&D campaign, but it's like a video game adaptation of this like future. The first game is called Metro 2033, mm-hmm. and it takes place in Russia where like the top of the world is a wasteland and everyone lives in the subway. Like you can't go outside.
Oh, okay.
So everything takes place in real confined quarters in like subway tunnels. That's where all the towns and mm-hmm. everything is. And so it was Metro 2033 was the first game, and then Metro Last Light, and then Metro Exodus is coming out in February this year. So I think it's the 22nd. Could be the 15th. It's somewhere in there. And last week they announced, or earlier this week, again, I don't know. My timing is all messed up. I blame the snow. Cold makes my brain shrink. Anyway, they announced that Metro Exodus was going to be a timed exclusive on the Epic's Game Store, and everyone flipped their shit. Because up until this point, people had been reserving it in all sorts of other places. They'd pre-ordered a copy on Steam. Oh, that sucks. They'd pre-ordered a copy on GOG, on Humble Bundle, like any place. Like, mm-hmm. And then so they announced this timed exclusivity, and then so all the pre-orders got messed up.
Delayed or just...
I think what happened was they either refunded it or gave them a key for the Epic Store, or like, I don't know exactly what happened, but it was just a lot of kerfuffle because it hadn't been exclusive. Mm-hmm. And then something happened in negotiations or whatever. Like, the publisher THQ Nordic came out and said this wasn't our decision. This was the developer's decision, apparently. They didn't have a choice, and or they didn't make this choice. It was the developers mm-hmm. of the actual game, and so I guess, you know, Epic paid money to get this exclusivity to get more people on their store because, you know, they need seeds. You know, yeah. They need to get people. Once they have the store, they can start just not caring and not doing this exclusive stuff mm-hmm. because people are using it just as much as Steam. But until then, they need to build the user base. And just like everyone who cared about the game really got angry because like you're taking away our pre-order. Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck? And so, of course, you know, they started review bombing the old Metro games on Steam and, you know, the usual gamer.
Attacking the very thing they love.
Yeah, they wanted to show they were upset somehow. So they went on the internet and raged. And so it's got this discussion going about like, well, like, what's the big deal? Like, for me, I don't care. Like, it's another launcher, it's another app. Like, I already have Battle.net, I already have Steam. Like, I personally don't care. Like, Discord has its own game store thing now.
I saw that, yeah.
And so like, I like competition. I think Steam has been kind of a cesspool for a while, so I think from a non person who doesn't care and who isn't a big PC gamer anyway, mm-hmm. like, I feel like Epic having their own store is a good thing and that it could maybe make things better overall for the ecosystem. But I also understand where people are coming from. Like, you yank their pre-orders out of it and they can still get it after the exclusivity is over with if they want it on somewhere mm-hmm. else. But I don't know. What do you think?
This somehow is topical to me in a weird tangential way.
Really?
In that I got an email today and I was like, ah, this only proves my confirmation bias is true. Like, so for me, this deals with DVDs.
Okay.
And like the downloaders for DVDs. Like when DVDs and Blu-rays come, they give you a digital copy.
The digital download like, code, yeah.
There's like four or five different digital downloader things, and that annoys the crap out of me.
There's like Ultraviolet or something is one of them, and yeah.
Ultraviolet, sometimes there's Voodoo. There was this one that has Flixster I've gotten movies from. And it annoys me because I just give it to me on Apple. Like Apple iTunes is what I use. I have a Mac. Yes, I'm that guy. Harvey Z in the place to be. Fuck you. Actually, I used to be anti-Apple so much, but... You know, Harvey Z.
It only takes a little bit. Like, by the way, have you turned FaceTime off of your phone?
No.
You haven't heard about that?
I heard a little bit, but I don't know what's up with it. It's like people have to call me.
Yeah, but if someone FaceTime, there is like a bug where if someone FaceTime someone, they can listen in using the phone's microphone even before they pick up. Like, it just turns on the microphone and can just hear whatever you're doing.
Yeah. So they're just getting exclusive Harvey Z podcasts.
Like pretty much, but like that's really bad. Like if you're having like true, private conversations, like
I have like three people I FaceTime with. So it's going to be like it has to be they have to call you, correct?
Yes. They have to initiate a FaceTime and then I don't know if they've patched it yet or I think they turned off FaceTime completely for a while they were fixing it.
Oh, I heard there was a patch coming out at the end of the week or so. So I was like, I'll just grab that. But like, I know all the people who FaceTime me. So it's like, if you're going to spy on me, all right, yo, sup. I know who you are. I know where you live. That's it. But like going back to this, so I got an email today. Ultraviolet is shutting down.
Really?
Ultraviolet sent me a nice little email going, oh, you have till like June 31st. To find another retailer.
Okay. First of all, I'm not going to be a stickler on this.
July 31st.
Okay. Thank you.
It might have been June 30th. But yeah, you get the point. It was somewhere in there. I was covering both bases. But like, I have 6 months to like find a new retailer. One, fair point. I haven't used Ultraviolet in forever. But I have movies on there. And I know I have a bunch of movies on there. But they're like, oh, you can still watch them. The email was very helpful in the beginning. You can still watch them. All your content is there and available till July 31st. And then it was like, what happens after July 31st? And it's like, then we will shut down. But stick with us. We might come back.
Wait, so they're not giving you a way to like keep your movies or anything?
They're just saying choose other retailers and like you'll automatically like if you have a retailer connect. So it's been a while since I've used Ultraviolet, but I'm like, so what they're saying is like, oh, Ultraviolet holds all your stuff together and like they get it through, I guess, like iTunes or various media sources. And they're like, now you're going to have to download it and keep it on theirs rather than through us.
But didn't you just say you wanted it on iTunes?
I did, but I'm guessing and I'm really hoping, because this is the problem, is if it was available to me in the first place, I would have just gotten it on iTunes.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
And so I had to go through this Ultraviolet like app thing to do it, and now the app is going away, and this is why I always hated anything that came after CDs. MP3s, all of the Steam digital downloads, this fuels my conspiracy. Like, you need hard copies. When the apocalypse comes, it's not going to be like a wasteland. It's just simply going to be the internet. Digital stuff is going to go away, and you need only the man with a DVR.
See, that's the thing, is that, like, there's so much digital-only stuff right now that if the internet apocalypse happens, we're fucked beyond just not having being able to watch DVDs and movies. It's just all these stupid things, like video games come out with day one patches that are like gigs of data and they're not on the disc, but they like it happened after they went gold and they fixed all these bugs or whatever. So like when the internet stops or when people can't connect to the internet, they're playing inferior products or they're not getting the full experience. Like DLC just disappears. Mm-hmm. Servers shut down, so like old multiplayer games, you can't play them anymore. Sometimes random single-player games that are just connected to the internet for no reason, you can't play anymore.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's like, oh, well, you know, just download the patch, or I want a digital-only future where I can download everything. Like, fucking hell. You could get a free copy of Call of Duty Black Ops 3 through PS Plus. I think this was back in like October or November. And I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to try a Call of Duty game. It's free. You know how much I hate Activision, but I'm not giving them money. Fuck it. Like, let's see it. And then I went to download it and it was something like fucking 300 gigabytes or some stupid shit like that. It wasn't actually that much, but it was a lot. And it, according to the PlayStation timer, it would take like 3 days to download it. It was dumb. And PlayStation's downloading thing is dumb. And I was like, I don't got time for this. I'm not going to like...
Is it because it was free? Or is it just it would have been that way if you had paid for it anyway?
That was just the file size. Like, that's what you had to download to play the damn game. Like, this is why I get fucking DVDs and Blu-rays.
Mm-hmm.
And still those things make me wait for it to install shit. Like, I'm kidding.
The one part of all of this, though, is I will say, on a... Harvey Z is less of a Luddite now by like an inch. I used to be a full CD guy, and then my CDs get scratched up and I'm like, ah, this sucks. And like the quality, and like I love the Americana album by The Offspring, and like unfortunately my final track always has a little scratch in it, and it's like I get to it, the epic guitars and stuff, and then it's like and it's like, well, the CD ends early, we'll just cut it and we won't get to the end of it. But because I played it so much. And then the other part was, so remember when they used to sell binders for CDs?
Yep.
And I filled them up, like the 1,000 ones. Lifting that now, it is like
hurts
25 pounds or 30 pounds of like just, it's really hard to carry that in the car. It's to the point of where it had a zipper around. If you unzip it, like all the CDs are just like bulging out of that thing. And it's like, this is not portable anymore. Okay, I get it. So compromise, I have to create a little 10 like CD holder thing and I just switch them out. But it's like, meanwhile, like my family is just like, what the hell are you doing? Apple Music, buddy. And so I got Apple Music, the free trial thing. I have access to all those CDs. I can just download them. I can play them. I can stream them. And I'm like, oh, I really, what's that song? Oh, here it is. I just have it now. I didn't even have to pay for it because of subscription. I've been so staunchly anti-subscription, so And I'm like, fuck, it's convenient.
Yeah.
Fuck, this is nice.
Like, that's what happened with me and I think Prime Music.
Ah, so, that was my gateway.
Yeah, like Amazon, through Amazon Prime, you get Prime Music, which is a bunch of free albums, but they can come and go. And then there's Music Unlimited, which is the actual subscription service, which I never used. But because I already had Prime, I didn't want to then pay more.
And then if you buy CDs on Prime, you can just rip them straight
to exactly. Yeah. Like, that was super convenient, and I totally was down for that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I kind of started hating on Amazon, and Bezos is a terrible person, and so I've tried to move away from it. But it's like, it's calling me back, you know? Like, yes. It's so easy to do. And yeah, like, I used to be staunchly against CDs, and, like, I still have a CD player in my car.
Wait, like, against CDs? Oh, because they were so, like...
No, I, you know what I meant.
Yeah.
Like, I was staunchly for CDs against digitizing music.
Yeah.
And right now, my biggest hurdle is that my music is so scattered that, like, organizing it under one roof is going to be, like, a weekend task. Like, it'll be like spring cleaning for fucking MP3s.
Like, literally, for me, every time I get a new PC or a new computer or a new Mac, getting iTunes installed and then slowly putting every CD in one by one.
Yeah,
and
that shit is,
takes, like, this time it took like over a week because some CDs are scratched and you have to do it again and again. Also, like, Macs don't come with like the little DVD things. I had to actually grab one for $20, but they're like, the DVD burners are, they can only go so much when I just burn and burn and burn. And this $20 DVD guy was not expecting to like get this much work put out of him. And so he keeps like scratching and slowing and I have to restart and pop it out and he gets stuck and put it back in. And it took over a week to like just put all the music. And then I was like,
at this point, a lot of people are, and not a lot of people, but the majority of more like younger than us people who are used to this are gonna be like, why don't you just use the cloud, man? Just put all your information and everything on the cloud. I just bought that
stupid $1 cloud thing of like, oh, we'll give you 2 gigs or 1 gig free, but if you want 50 gigs, just pay us $1 every month. And I was like, crap, because I kept getting pop-ups of you have too many documents, you have too much corporate work. Harvey Z, what are you doing? Upgrade, or like buy a computer or buy whatever. And I was like, fuck, I need my documents everywhere. I'll pay you $1. You win again, Apple. Have my $1 every month. And then suddenly 50 gigs and all the pop-ups go away. All the ads go away.
I feel like at this point, we're in such a, like, I hesitate to use dystopia, but we're, like, getting close. We're at this point where we basically just have to choose the shitty company that we give our life to.
Uh-huh.
Like, you choose Google and use Google Docs, and you use the Google Cloud, and you use Google Music, and you use Google Phones, or you choose Apple, and you use Apple products, and Apple Cloud, and Apple Music, or you use Amazon, and you get Amazon Music, and Amazon Cloud, and regardless, like, all of them are shitty, and no one actually wants to use them, but you just have to, like, choose which one you're gonna be like, okay, fine, I guess it's...
And so, going full circle, isn't that just like having these little apps to give you your products or which downloader you want? You were the one at the beginning going, oh, it'd be good to have a variety because then capitalism and we'd be able to kind of have, it would help us in some way. It just feels like, no, it's just which soulless corporation do you want to dedicate yourself to?
I mean, I get that, but like in a macro sense, I understand how it's like kind of similar. But the problem is the video game realm has been dominated by Steam for so long. Like, Steam has been the place you get shit. And, like, other things have come up, like GOG, which apparently turned out, I think, racist or sexist or something. I don't remember.
Okay.
Because CD Projekt Red did something. I don't know. GOG is weird now. It might not have been GOG. Is there another? Anyway.
GOG and Humble Bundle. I like Humble Bundle.
Please. Yeah, I think Humble Bundle is fine. But even Humble Bundle gives you, like, Steam keys.
Yeah.
You know? And so, like, you get... that's just the place where everyone gets it. And because of that, Valve has gotten super lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they... implement these really stupid design decisions like Steam Greenlight, where anyone can put anything on there and like people just like flood the market with these shitty games to make a quick buck, or like, and they put them in like Greenlight and beta phases where like people like PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, yeah. PUBG was in Greenlight stage alpha beta, you know, pre-bought game, but people could give them money for an unfinished game as they were working on it. And people gleefully do this over and over with all sorts of, like, I won't buy a game until it's a fucking game, you know? Like, I'm not going to be your free beta tester. Or I'm not even a free beta tester. I'm not going to be your give you money to give to play your shitty buggy game.
And yet we have that meme, take my money.
What? What does that have to do with what I'm saying?
It sounded deep. Go with it. It's the take my money, where there are some things where we've kind of gotten into the culture where, like, in our meme culture sense, hey, this is so awesome. Here, let me give you money. Let me kickstart you. Let me help you out before you even get
paid. So here's the thing. I firmly believe there's something different between Kickstarter and Patreon and things like that versus the Steam Greenlight program, because people are abusing the Steam Greenlight program and just putting out a lot of shit and like flooding the market so that actual good games are hidden. You know, like there's a lot of shit to sift through. Like, when's the last time you actually just randomly looked at games on Steam? You know, like you, or like,
it gives me the curated list of like, we think you'll like these 10
yeah, things. You know, I'll like through that. But you don't ever actually browse anything in there, and that's a problem. You know, people are creating good stuff and I'm never going to see it. It's like the whole algorithm issue with YouTube and Twitter and things like that. But like Patreon, it's a conscious decision on your part to be like, I'm going to give this person $5 a month, and then if they don't deliver on it, you can take it back. Like, okay. you can stop giving them money every month. Like, if you're like, I'm not satisfied with this content, I can just stop. Meanwhile, people on Steam Greenlight are like, here, pay full price for this game, and then in 2 years, it'll be complete, and you can actually play it. You know, like the Star Citizen thing, where that people have given them millions and millions and millions of dollars, and they're playing, like, buggy alpha versions, if that, of the game, and they're paying for this future content that they may never, ever get. Well, at least, and, like, Kickstarter is still sketchy, but it's almost more self-regulating than Steam is, because people post shitty shit to Kickstarter all the time and no one actually gives them money. And then occasionally a really nicely packaged shit will get a bunch of money and then not actually come out, and there's a big fuss over it. But those have become less and less over time.
Thinking about the dude who was like, pay me money and I'll make potato salad. And he got like $30,000. And he made some real nice potato salad.
Well, he made some potato salad. And he also donated like the big, like he never realized it would take off like that, because he made it as a joke. And I think he donated it to a charity or something, right?
He was a good dude in the end.
Yeah, he ended up being a good dude about it. And then, but like, I could do a whole episode on Kickstarter and like the good and bad on Kickstarter, which is on my to-do list. Right now, my to-do list is a Kickstarter episode. I did the episode on Activision. Oh, I want to do an episode on EA and the Worst Company in America saga.
Okay.
They got voted. So there's this informal poll on the internet that's done every year by, I can't remember what website it is, but it's a, and they just put like a March Madness 64 bracket, Worst Companies in America, and it has, you know, Bank of America and Monsanto and, you know, all those real,
really, like Monsanto and stuff, and they lost to,
and they, and EA won 2 years in a row. Nice. Like, and so that is a wonderful story, and I that's another one I want to get to. And I also, one of our listeners, one of the only ones that briefly interacted with us on Twitter before he deleted his Twitter account for like the millionth time.
I don't even know who that was.
He asked about, he said, is, on one of our earlier episodes when we posted about it, he's like, does this episode talk about Metal Gear Solid or DuckTales? And we haven't done that, but I, in my head, I want to do a Metal Gear Solid and DuckTales episode just for that guy. So that guy, if you're listening to this, it's coming. We promise.
You could send us $5 and we'll kickstart it in advance.
Okay, that was a lot of words in a sentence.
I'm using buzzwords. The kids are hip. This is what we need to do to make ourselves.
I don't Venmo think that us. Actually made sense.
Just pay us money. We'll give you the episode.
Yeah, okay. You know what? Just send us money.
Invest in us. We're good.
You can find my address at 1234. I'm not giving you my address. Somewhere, someplace, United States. Yeah, I'll give it away. We're in the United States, folks. I guess we've kind of given away an area we grew up in, at the very least. Because we've talked about Washington...
Sausage! Too much sausage! Well, we've talked hide about the sausage! Washington hide the sausage!
Anyway.
Please edit out the phrase, hide the sausage. We don't need to... Just please, as a favor, T-Man.
I don't know. I think that would be a great episode title, you know? Episode 22, Hide the Sausage.
So I feel like if we're going to talk sausage on the episode titles, they should be about like the content news-wise or something.
No, I don't.
We're going with the random catch. Because I'm looking at some of these and I'm like, Harvey Z versus a child. Like, okay.
It draws people in, man.
We got to focus on the gaming.
I when I'm listening, there are some... things that are just so snazzy.
Just know the title is going to be in there somewhere, and it's like, where is this going to happen?
I mean, at this point, like, we've done 20 some episodes. I went with the convention that I pick a title out of something we said during the episode.
Yeah.
So at this point, like, I try to keep it in relation to like a major topic. Uh-huh. Like, I don't want to, like, if you say something like motherfucking wizards and like that has absolutely nothing to do with anything we talked about, then I won't include that. But if we talk about wizards for 30 fucking minutes and then you say motherfucking wizards,
we need to have that be an episode title. Just hang that out there, actually, and an episode. Future episodes, add that to your list. We're going to have a 30-minute conversation on motherfucking wizards.
Okay. Well, maybe it'll be this episode's title. We can't do it. That'd be too meta. And again, we're not talking about talking about wizards.
Soon.
Okay.
Venmo us $5. We'll talk about wizards.
Why do you want Venmo so badly?
It's a throwback.
Yeah, I know it's a throwback, but
plus,
like,
do you have a Venmo account?
I do not have a Venmo account.
I don't have a PayPal account.
I don't do that either.
How are they supposed to give us money? You didn't even buy... We didn't think this through. Like, damn it, they can't tweet us money. We really fucked up on this, dude.
Don't do that while I'm drinking. Almost spit water all over the microphone. Okay.
This is all sausage. But
yeah,
like,
we're
this
going
is actual,
full sausage.
Like, I'm actually like realizing this just in this moment. Like, there's no way for them to give us money.
Well... The way I see it, we need to have a decent following of fans before we start asking for money. Because first of all, if they start giving us money, we have to start producing something.
No, as you just pointed out, no, we don't.
We're not going to be assholes. We're not just going to take people's money and then not do anything with it.
Firefly Festival. We'll make a documentary out of this shit. We'll be huge.
Firefly Festival?
Isn't that what it was called?
It was just the Fire Festival.
Oh, they just made it all hip with like a Y.
Yeah.
I assume because it had that, it must have been like more impressive of a title. Just Fire Festival?
Yeah, it's just Fire Festival.
That's like a knockoff of like Burning Man, just burning.
Yeah. But yeah, like seriously though, in terms of monetization, like if you want, we're going full sausage here. I really think like... If we're going to do anything that involves like a Patreon or money or things like that,
that's like professional.
Yeah, like I'm gonna go full professional on this. You know, we can do like bonus content. We can do streams where we like play shit on Twitch or something. You know, I feel like if we're ever going to do any sort of monetary thing, the money has to go to something. Regarding the podcast.
You want to be a potato salad guy and not a fire guy.
Yeah, I want to be a potato salad guy. I like...
You want to give them what they... See, that's why I'm like Venmo and PayPal and stuff. Because to me, that's secretly just a scam. You're just throwing away money, dude. Sure.
I feel like we're not the right people to be trying the Venmo shit. I feel like there is a certain subset of younger, hipper generation that can pull that off that are also sociopaths.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying everyone
all
that
are sociopaths, yeah. But you're saying like the people who we've talked about where they just take your money or they do those sorts of things.
Yeah, you have to go into it. Like, we're doing this because we like podcasting.
Yeah, this is just a fun thing.
Yeah.
Still want that underwear money, though.
Well, that's what we're working on. If we start getting underwear money, then we can start asking our fans for money. That's my thing. Like, if we're big enough that we can get corporate sponsors, we can also do like a Patreon or extra stuff where, you know, we're supplementing our income in both ways.
Do the plot of like the underpant gnomes. First, we get the underwear. 2 question mark. 3 profit.
That's that.
All right, in the sausage portion, that's what we came up with.
Yeah, sausage ends with underwear.
Should we end the show now?
The last thing that I was going to talk about is because I'm super jazzed right now about Kingdom Hearts, mm-hmm. and I thought about it as we were going through it. Like, I think this is a full episode thing because this is a lot of information. But
I think you need to do like full research.
I don't want to do research on it. I want to like free ball it and just kind of and just like off the top of my head with what I know, mm-hmm. try to explain it and like do like the back and forth.
Okay.
But what I wanted to do was try to explain the entire Kingdom Hearts plot and mythology to Harvey Z, who at most knows...
I know Disney.
Yeah, he knows Disney, and he watched me play Kingdom Hearts 2 a little bit in college. Like, yeah. That is his experience with Kingdom Hearts, and anyone that knows about Kingdom Hearts will tell you that the plot is one of the most nonsensical and complicated things in ever existence. Like, it goes full anime. Like, it is weird as shit. And this is coming from someone, like... It's up there with like Metal Gear Solid levels of plot craziness that doesn't make any sense and like going off the rails. So anyway, that's what I was going to do for like the second half of this episode. And somehow we ended up at the end of the episode and we haven't even started it yet. So we're going to save that for next time. I think next time, come prepared. Next week, go ahead and give you a preview. It's going to be just Kingdom Hearts all the time. I'll have played a lot more of Kingdom Hearts 3 at that point.
So you know that mythology to add to the...
I don't know if I'm going to want to go to it too much because I don't want to spoil
it for the new people. Yeah.
But at the same time, I'll have a little bit more reference and I'll have my own what the shit is going on because I'm trying to figure... Like, I have a friend who has played all the Kingdom Hearts games and he has a much better memory and able to understand all this shit. So I'm literally, like, playing for a couple of hours at night and then, like, the next day talking to him and being like, okay, so can you explain this to me? And what's going on with this? And did I understand that right? And
what type of game... This is a freaking Disney Final Fantasy game. What type of game makes you have to, like... So did I do this right? In the next morning?
I'm telling you, man, it's going to be a trip. So you really have this to look forward to because you know Harvey Z and you know how his mind works and you know me. And if I'm already confused about it, this is going to be one wild ride.
That's a Disney thing.
Is it?
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
See, I was thinking Mr. Bones' Wild Ride.
Mr. Bones's?
Well, it's this. Oh, I think we talked about it earlier. It's like a very early podcast where it's like Roller Coaster Tycoon and like someone made Mr. Bones's Wild Ride where you like it was like a 3-day thing and the NPCs that took it couldn't get off it because like the exit funneled back into the entrance. Yeah, that's not Disney.
No, that's not Disney. And let's hope this doesn't turn into Mr. Bones's Wild Ride.
I mean, it started out as Mr. Toad's Wild Ride and now it's Mr. Bones's Wild Ride. Let's leave it at that. That's what you got to look forward to for next week. But until then, Harvey Z, where can they find you?
At the Z is silent. And because some people actually had difficulty with it, the is spelled T-H-A.
Your greatest mistake.
And yet, yeah, it was a mistake. yeah, sorry. Sorry, buddy. At least you found me.
You can find me at T-Man Plays Games. On Twitter, you can find my writing at tmanwrites.com. I finished the whole month of January and posted content every single weekday. I'm proud of myself.
Like, blog stuff or like content being like this stuff too?
Content. So basically my schedule is 2 days I write full blog posts. One day I do a top five, which is kind of a middle ground blog post. One day I do a music post where I highlight a band or artist that I enjoy. And then one day it's just the podcast. So that's 5 weekdays. Weekdays, Monday through Friday.
What about Saturday and Sunday?
It's the weekend, man. I got to take a break sometime. Anyway, so you can find tmanwrites.com at tmanwrites.com. And you can find our the podcast Twitter at Make Me a Podcast. You can find us at makemeagamerpodcast@gmail.com if you have any questions or comments, like we said at the beginning of this episode. I don't think saying our email is worth a that we brought it full circle.
But we referenced something that we... There was a circle. It's there. It's like an Ouroboros at this time.
Okay. Ouroboros?
No, Ouroboros.
Oh, I was thinking you were trying to say Aurora Borealis and came out with Ouroboros.
Harvey Z is cultured as fuck. This is the second time I've done this. I've brought Nordic words in here and you're just like challenging me on my Nordicness.
Well, wait, no, I know what an is it actually pronounced Ouroboros though?
As opposed to?
I don't know. It doesn't, it seems like it's too simple. It seems like it's a word I've always looked at and like, this is how I think it would be pronounced, but I'm an American, which means I'm probably pronouncing it wrong.
I'm also an American and I just assume I'm right.
That's the difference between the two of us. All right, well, hit us up with Ouroboros questions or Aurora Borealis questions, at whichever you prefer. And that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to be talking about Kingdom Hearts. Get ready. And see you then.
Later.